HDRadioNetwork.com.
Climb aboard and strap in. It's time for the Racing Rewind Show with your hosts Glenn Carcitti and Mike Saluca. Bringing you all the action from the Southern England tracks each and every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Heard only on the Victory Lane Radio Network presented by Anytime Realty. Let Mike and Glenn tell you the way it really happened out there at your favorite track. Strap in, here we go.
Welcome to the Racing Rewind Show. I'm your host, Glenn Carcitti. Alongside is my co-host, Mike Saluca. We'll bring you an hour of motorsports talk, just like we do each and every Tuesday night between 6 and 7 p.m. We have another great show lined up for you tonight. We have the winner of the Myrtle Beach 125 Tour Type Modified event that was held this past Saturday, Big Money Hirschman. Then later in the show, we'll have a driver who just picked himself up a ride weekly at Stafford Motor Speedway in the Scavera number 50 SK Modified, Chase Dowling. Well, Mike, originally we had Jimmy Blewett as part of the show, too. Understandably, he has four cars that he's attempting to race this weekend at Wall Stadium's Turkey Derby, a Tour Mod, SK Mod, SK Light Modified, and also a Dirt Modified. So between trying to get four race cars ready and get trailers over there and everything, he had to graciously bow out. But I told him I'm sure he'll win one of those four races, so we'll have him on again next week.
So in regards to the show this week, Showtime Jimmy blew it off.
Yeah. But Chase Dowling was gracious enough to join us tonight. And, we got a lot to talk about with him too. He's got, he's trying to do some more races with the K&N East Series next year with Ted Marsh. And he's also in search of a tour ride, a Whelen Modified tour ride besides the Stafford SK ride that he just picked up. So, plenty to talk about with him too, Mike.
Well, in all, joking set aside, Jimmy Blewett is a top shelf guy, very busy. Like you said, getting four cars ready for the Turkey Derby in his home state of New Jersey. And we wish him all the best of luck down there, getting those fabulous race cars ready to go. And I think he'll get at least one win, maybe two down there. So in regards to Chase Dowling, I go to a local gas station to get coffee sometimes when I'm heading over to Diego Monahan's house to lose my money in poker, which happens to be Sully's Mobile down on Coleman Street in New London. Anybody familiar with the area knows that Sully's Mobile, PJ Sullivan, longtime race fan supporter. That's where I get my coffee from. And Jordan Hadley's grandmother, she works there, so I get my coffee from them. Anyway, out front was a guy named Ed Hedge. I don't know if you're familiar with Eddie Hedge. Do you know who that is?
New London police officer, I believe, right?
He's retired now, yep. He was a New London police officer for many years. He also drives the hauler on occasion for Teddy Marsh for that team. And a guy named Mo, I can't think of his real name. He works for the city of New London. He's the driver when Eddie doesn't drive it. And Chase Dowling came up in conversation. And those two individuals who have been around, vast race car drivers who have driven for Teddy Marsh had nothing but great things to say about Chase Dowling, his family, and his sponsors over at the paving company there. So they speak very highly of Chase Dowling, and from what I understand, Phil Kurse and Teddy Marsh and them guys, they're big, huge, huge fans of the young man. So that speaks volumes when you talk to people that have been around for a long time that just think the world of Chase Dowling. That's definitely awesome to hear.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, Mike, before Matt Hirschman calls in here in a few minutes to talk about Myrtle Beach and a lot of other things, I know we won't get too in-depth into it now. We'll talk more about it later on, but I know you're itching to talk about the, we don't normally talk about it all that much, but the Sprint Cup Series chase finale there. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we don't talk about it all too much because people take enough naps during Sunday racing on the NASCAR circuit. you know, I'm not a real big fan of the chase for the cup. I never really have been. I understand, you know, the day and age we live in with participation trophies and everybody has to have a chance to get their moment in the sun and a pat on the back and all that bullshit. Allowed Jimmy Johnson to win his seventh championship, which puts him up there in the eyes of some people with Earnhardt and Petty. I don't think that under this current format you can really compare those two to Jimmy Johnson because it's not fair to Petty and Earnhardt. I think if the chase format was the way it is now, back then, both of those guys probably would have had 10 championships apiece. You know, I was glad to see that, you know, the end of the race, Carl Edwards, you know, he was in the chase and he made a move and tried to block Joey Logano to keep him out of it and wound up, you know, getting wrecked, and it was his own fault and he took the blame for that. There's no big secret. I'm not a big Joey Logano fan at all. So I didn't really, care that if he won or not. And I know everybody from Connecticut probably hates me for that, but, I will say this though. I was very impressed with the crew chief's call to bring him in with about six or seven to go and put tires on, because on that restart, I mean, he just roasted everybody. Picked up like four spots in the first on the restart, which was amazing. But you know, I guess it's good for NASCAR. I don't think anything at this point is good for NASCAR. The grandstands are still barren. You know, it's watered down. It's a rich man's game. It's the equivalent of golf. So, congratulations to Jimmy Johnson.
All right. Well, our first guest of the evening is on the line, the winner of the Myrtle Beach Speedway 125-lap tour-type modified event, Matt Hirschman. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me tonight.
No problem, Matt. No problem. You and that 60 team, you were in competition at Myrtle Beach Speedway this past Saturday. You qualified on the pole. You used a tire-saving strategy on a very abrasive racetrack, made a late race pass for the lead, and ultimately ended up in victory lane. Just take us through your day.
Yeah, it was a good day. We had a good car. We showed speed when we needed to, or when we tried to, I should say. But Myrtle Beach is the most extreme racetrack in terms of you know, managing your tires and just the difference in speed of what you could run if you were to want to run 100%, or what you could run by not running even close to 100%. So it's as probably unexciting as that sounds, believe it or not, I actually think it's kind of a fun event. I did it for the first time last year and learned a lot, and finished third, was a contender to win, but came up a little bit short last year. And this year went there with a lot better idea of where we needed to be and what we needed to do. And put it all to good use, and ended up coming out on top in the end.
Now, late in the race, you had put on a sticker tire, I believe, and then you had it actually go flat on you, and you had to pit and put on another tire. Another competitor that finished on the podium had some comments, and then there were some comments also on social media. I mean, what do you make of all that, and just kind of take us through what actually happened there?
Yeah, what happened was, and this year they were giving us two tires to change. Last year was a four tire event, and you could pit at any time during the event. Well, this year the purse wasn't as good. They lost the sponsor that contributed to the purse, so they cut the purse back, and they also limited us to two change tires to cut the expenses back. And you were forced to take those tires at lap 75. They did a break at 75 of 125, and we changed our tires like everybody else. And shortly after back to green, I noticed something wasn't right, and I didn't know what it was at that point. But the more laps we ran, I actually felt the car bottom out a little bit, and it's not a bumpy racetrack. So I knew then that we must have a tire going down, and I didn't know if it was left or right. Not long after that, I found out when the right rear came off the wheel, and we brought out the caution, and that is when we, yes, we were able to change that tire. But, you know, it could happen to anyone. You know, I've lost far more races by having flat tires than I've won by gaining some type of an advantage. You know, for it's laughable to read and hear some of the comments that get made that somehow you could orchestrate the tire slowly leaking just enough that you're able to run 10 to 15 laps, and then it's going to come off the wheel completely flat. You're not going to hit anything when you spin or go sliding around, and you're also not going to get hit by anybody else because I had cars right behind me. So for someone to think that you could coordinate all of that and use that to your advantage is, like I said, it's laughable. So, but like I said, sometimes, you know, if the timing is right, you can use something like that, misfortune and, to your advantage. You know, I've seen that happen before, but like I said, I've had, many more flat tires cost me races than I've ever won by them. So, you know, I know what happened. My whole team obviously, knows what happened, and, we're not going to take anything away from our accomplishment. And it's a new team. It was only our third race together. So, like I said, it's a big deal because of being a new team, and I'm not going to let that overshadow it.
Yeah, Matt, congratulations first and foremost on your win. Nice job. Awesome for you and your team. And I'd like to just touch on something that you just said about, you know, people always trying to I'm from the hood. I live in the inner city. So they call it, I guess the kids are calling it throwing shade. I guess that means haters. And I can't stand when somebody makes a move in a race like you did, and then you had to pit and take tires, and then people, for lack of a better term, try to shit on your accomplishment. I think that it's just horrible all the way around. So I want to congratulate you guys for the persistence and the effort by that 60 team to persevere through the adversity to get to that win. You went on a lot of big stages. You went a lot of big money races, which I think is completely awesome. I just got to ask you one question. I consider him a good friend, and I follow him on Facebook when he spots. Wayne Muffy Wildernuth was your spotter for that race. What was some of the information that he gave you over the radio to kind of help you out? Was he very helpful? He's a pretty famous spotter down here in our circle.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the comments you just made. Spotter actually could be more helpful there than at most racetracks because you want to set a pace and you want to kind of know what you're running and then when you want to make up ground, how much ground you can gain and the difference in lap time. So the spotter, more than just your typical you know, watchful eyes and, you know, clearing you and, making you aware of your, surroundings. They could also, kind of help with that. Like I said, Myrtle Beach, a little bit different style of racing. He was helpful with that information.
And, moving forward to, 2017, first of all, are you planning on running the Turkey Derby?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we always, finish up the season with that. You know, it's quite a tradition. It's a well-attended race, both from the competitors, the car count side, and the fan count. And we typically will always finish our year there, and then we'll look to 2017.
Yeah, so you're going to go down the Turkey Derby, and probably put on a show down there like you normally do when you show up to a modified race. Very, very exciting to watch. You're always a threat to win, in my opinion. So looking forward to 2017. I know you got the off season and you got the holidays coming up. Any preview as to maybe what we might see for 2017? Is there any interest from any tour teams to get you maybe in a Whalen modified tour ride that you know of? Or?
No, I haven't had any conversations. I'm not sure what my interest level would be, depending on what the schedules are and things like that for next year. I do intend to return to the teams I do race for now. And like I said, the new team, PD Motorsports, we just finished up with at Myrtle Beach, is a team that is going to help kind of widen and broaden our reach as far as what races we can attend or I can attend for next year. So we'll see what the schedules are. I mean, I've heard a lot of rumors, I'm sure, as you guys have as well, as to specifically with the wheel and stuff and possibly new venues and early season events in the South and things like that. So we'll be capable of running anywhere we choose, and we'll just have to see what those schedules are. And then once the season gets, like I said, there'll be some, we'll see what opportunities there are for any, let's say, winter races in February or March. And then the season really doesn't get rolling up here until first or second week of April usually, and we're usually pretty busy from there on with races here close to home in Pennsylvania, ROC races in New York State last few years anyway. The tri-track races in the New England states have been very lucrative and races that we can't miss. And like I said, we'll just fill the gaps with whatever's out there that that interests us.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, lucrative being the key word. I mean, racing is fun, and it's a hobby for most, but it seems like for you and a couple other guys on the circuit, you guys are making a pretty good business out of it. And I know that the Whalen Modified Tour purse hasn't changed really at all in the last few years here, which is pretty disheartening, because I'd like to see you guys race for more money. I think the more money on the line, the more exciting the racing is at times. And you did mention, the tri-track shows. And what's your thoughts on this modified touring series that Gary Knight had brought to the table this year? I think they only ran one race, but he's added some races for the upcoming 17 season. Have you seen anything on that schedule? And is that something you may be interested in?
I'm not sure what their final schedule will be and what our availability will be or openings in schedules that I'll put together, but we'll certainly look at it. Last year there was an event at Monadnock Speedway, Winchester 200, and that was run by Gary Knight and the MTS, and everything that was advertised was honored and made good. The purse was paid. I think the car count wasn't what they were hoping for, but the full purse was paid. And I had nothing but good things to say about that event and the American Racer tire that was used. Like I said, certainly sounds like there's a lot of positives coming out of there, and it seems that there's definitely a shift of a lot of teams and people from the MRS looking leaning towards more towards the MPS. So I'll see how that develops. Same as the wheel and stuff and the MTS and the MRS and those series. Being strictly New England based, that travels a lot tougher for me from Pennsylvania, especially if we're also if we're towing the car, not just me showing up to race, if we're also bringing a team to that race, it's a lot tougher for us to travel in that direction. So, like I said, we don't miss the tri-track races. So there's 3 to 5 races where we head in that direction. I'm not sure how many more trips we'll be able to make, but we'll look at everything when things all come together. And I imagine that's going to be definitely the month of December and in early January. I think you're going to see a lot of news and have a lot better idea what the picture is going to be for next year for modified racing in terms of that.
Yeah, and I basically, I think the MTS, the Modified Touring Series, last year he ran one show. He added some to this year, and I did hear nothing but good things about what Gary Knight has done over there. And I like to see the competition he's putting up against what I feel is the MRS. You know, the MRS, it's got its problems. It's historically had its problems, inconsistency in officiating and stuff like that. And I really feel that Gary Knight has done a great job in the one race he put on, and I think he's making the right step forward to getting you guys the purses you deserve. One other thing before I turn you over to Glenn, I just wanted to kind of get maybe your feedback on it, since you are so dedicated to running the tri-track. I spoke to Dick Williams on Friday night. I was at an event, and I got to see Dick, and he has since him and Jim have since turned over the tri-track series to a couple of other individuals. What's your thought on that? And you know, are you looking forward to working with those guys, those new guys? I think it's Gary. I forget the guy's name. But anyway, what's your thought?
Wayne Darling and Mark Penick are the people involved. From my understanding of it, Dick and Jim are still going to be involved. But this possibly maybe lessens the financial burden on them. And, you know, I hope that it continues as it's been because it's been a real positive. And I've said this many times in the last few years, is I think the Tri-Track Series is the best thing to happen to modified racing in a long, long time. And I'm talking, 10, 20 years or more. So I'm hopeful that things continue and it's an option for us there, and we'll just see how things if there is change or if it pretty much continues business as usual. But that remains to be seen. But I think there's been a lot of positive momentum there, I hope they can continue that.
Now, keeping with the theme of the Tri-Track Series, you were the overall point champion this year on that series. Just take us through your season with the Tri-Track Series.
Yeah, I mean, being the mini series that it is, and the races this year paying majority of them paying $10,000 to win. The emphasis there is on winning a race, because that's far more lucrative than the championship. And there is a small point fund, which is a nice added bonus, don't get me wrong. But the main objective is to try and win a race. And I'm fortunate to say that in the 3-year existence of the Tri-Track, I've won each season. I've won a race in each season. This year we had a really good year, very consistent, all good runs. Between first and sixth place, I believe, were our finishes, which helped us win the championship. But, most importantly, most races you run in modified racing, the winner potentially, comes out ahead, but typically from second on back, it's, maybe a break even or then a losing, proposition. But with the Tri-Track races, and I did have sponsorship help for those events, none of those were financial losers, finishing anywhere from first to sixth this year. So that's why those events, in my opinion, are can't miss, because most other races you go to, you don't win the race, you probably or almost definitely probably lost money. But but the MTS race that we talked about at Monadnock, the Tri-Track races, and those events, the spread the wealth, and like I said, you have people that may not even finish that in the top five, and they still will break even or come out ahead with all the different bonuses and the way the purses are structured. So very good deal those races have been for us.
All right, Matt. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show, and good luck this weekend at Walls Turkey Derby, and we'll see you down there.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Like I said, hopefully the weather's nice this weekend, or at least average in terms of temperatures, and it's always a good show, we hope to finish the season well, finish on a high note. We've had a great end of season. We had a good year throughout the spring and summer, but really a great finish so far this season, and hope to continue that and go out on a high note here this weekend.
Okay, Matt, once again, thank you for coming on. Congratulations on your win at Myrtle Beach, and good luck this weekend at Wall.
Okay, thanks, guys. You have a good night.
Thank you.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, Mike. Well, our second guest of the evening's on the line, Chase Dolling. Welcome to the show, Chase.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, doing well tonight. Doing well. It was recently announced that you're the new driver of the 50 SK Modified at Stafford Motor Speedway, the Scavera Motorsports machine. Just take us through how that deal all came about and what you're, how much you're looking forward to it for next season.
Yeah, I'm actually heading up there right now. I got my seat in the back of the truck, and I'll go up there to mount it, and then he's going to send it off to Powder Coat. But, me and Adam always been good friends throughout the years, and I ran the SK5K for him last year when Woody was up racing the MRS race. And I always got along good with their crew guys. Always had a lot of smiles and laughs, and it was a good race when we ran together and had a lot of fun. So, Adam's a really good guy. He works hard on his equipment and keeps it up to date. So, he gave me a call and was just thinking about doing something different, nothing against Woody. They have a really good relationship still. And so I got a couple of my sponsors, one of them SNS Asphalt Paving, and we got a motor and some tire money, and, we're going to make it happen. We got a brand new Courier car we're building right now, and I'm really excited to come back home to Stafford every Friday night.
You definitely running the full season, of course. You're looking forward to the grind every week of weekly competition again at Stafford?
Yeah, absolutely. You're racing against guys like Keith Rocco and Teddy week in, week out. And like I said, the Stafford guys are only going to be the best until you beat the best. So, going up and challenging yourself every week, it's a, the competition's tough there. And even at Waterford or any racetrack, the SK division overall in Connecticut's a really tough division. So I'm really looking forward to it. Got to be on the A game every week. And I'm excited to be racing weekly again. So I'm really excited. I'm pumped up. I can't even put words in the description right now.
Now, it was some stories came out on, different blogs and racing websites. Unfortunately, you won't be returning to the NASCAR Whale Modified Tour next year in your family-owned equipment. You are currently seeking any opportunities on the Whalen Tour. Just take us through the decision to not compete again next season. And did this whole merger thing and the uncertainty of the schedule have anything to play into it, or just where were you there?
To be honest with you guys, my dad kind of, he told me in previous years, he can only do it so long. He's getting old, and my mom and they're just deciding they want to move down south soon, and my mom's planning on retiring on work. And he committed 14 years of his health and commitment to my racing, and I don't blame him. It's time for him to change and get on with his life and enjoy. He worked hard all these years. It's time for him to retire and move where he wants to and enjoy life, and that's part of it. And I don't blame him. So I gotta thank him for all his help and support. And not a lot of people know, but me and him were, breaking stones week in and week out to be on a tour. And, it's hard to compete on a tour. It's nothing money-wise I had to do why we're not going to run this year, our family car, or sponsor-wise. I still have all my sponsors. I still, the funding's there and stuff. It's just, it's time for a change. So, I'm currently just looking for a ride. The problem right now is just the teams are struggling with the new schedule and the merging and the traveling costs and fees. So, you know, I've been talking to the two teams I really have just left, so I really hope I can get something for the tour. I don't want to step away from it. So, like I said, my sponsors are committed to me again for this year, and hopefully I can land a ride. I don't want to walk away from the tour. It's just a big learning curve and step in my career, and I wouldn't want to just lose it. So I'm trying to find as many opportunities as I can. I'm not walking away from it for sure. Like I said, it's hard with this new schedule. Like I said, the team's just, it's hard on them. It's nothing against NASCAR. They're trying to get the car counts up and stuff like that. But I think, honestly, from my opinion, it's just kind of hurt it. A lot of Southern guys don't even want to run it now. And the Northern guys, or I lose a couple Northern guys because they're not going to want to travel. So we'll see how it all plans out when our schedule gets released. And hopefully I can find a ride.
Now, switching gears a little bit, you ran a race at Dover this year for the Ted Marsh K&N team. You're looking to make a few more starts next season in the K&N series, correct?
Yeah. Teddy is a really, really good guy, black and white guy. And he's, I'm really fortunate. He's pouring his heart out and everything into me. We're trying to find a sponsor right now. He's working on one to go run the Smyrna for the first race to kick off the year. And hopefully some more money gets scattered along and maybe run a couple more shows.
Yeah, Chase, Mike Salupa here. How you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
You know, tremendous. Thanksgiving's in a couple days. I weigh close to 290 pounds. It's my favorite holiday of the year for obvious reasons. you know, I had the opportunity, I was talking earlier in the show, I had the opportunity to speak to a couple of gentlemen down my way in New London, Connecticut, that are associated with the Teddy Marsh program, and they had nothing but great things to say about you and your family and your sponsor over at SNS Asphalt Paving. It was actually your the guy that drives the hauler there. His name's Ed Hedge. Big fan of yours, and we got to talking, and we were going back and forth, and I had heard that you were going to run full time up at Stafford, and had heard that your tour ride is no longer. I think that you have a bright future in the NASCAR Whale and Modified Tour. I think you will definitely get a ride from somebody in this off season because you're just that good of a driver, in my opinion, and you're a young guy, so you got a lot looking forward for you in your career. That being said, would you accept only racing, part time on the tour if that came available? If you linked up with a team that only wanted to run, Stafford and Waterford and Thompson, and would you be interested in that, or are you looking for like a full time gig?
Anything like even part time. It's just being in the race car. I'm just grateful as just a kid in general, just working and going to college and, just being a young man working hard, don't have a lot of money and my family backing me. So, like you said, even part-time, I'd be grateful for it. I appreciate anything that would come my way. And, if it comes down to that, I'd be even more than happy. I'm even more stoked just to even have a full-time ride in SK. I don't take anything for granted. Just to have a commitment already this early in the off-season, I'm happy. And hopefully more cars come up that I can drive, and like any driver, I like driving anything with a gas pedal, so I'll drive anything and anything.
Well, I hope to see you back in a K&N ride. I think that you did a phenomenal job in that Dover race. Going back up to Stafford, I haven't been there in Christ 4 years, maybe 5 years now. I haven't been up there. It's just tough for me on Fridays with work, and I got a baby, and it's a long ride for me, and I like to have a few beers. So if I don't have an Uber driver or a designated driver, it's a long ride home, which I don't condone. So I just try to stick to my area. I will get up there this year to watch you run, and I'm interested. Are you looking forward to banging some Nerf bars with your buddy Stephen Kopchick? Because he's come quite a long way since, I think, the last time you guys raced against each other, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, me and Steven are real good friends, like you said. It's going to be fun racing against your best friend out there. I don't think we'll be best friends on the track. We'll be racing each other real hard and hopefully put a show on for the fans, of course. But you know, it was nice to go up to Stafford on Friday nights and spotting for him. And, you know, like you said, Mike, he came a long way this year. He's been right up near the top five at the end of the year. And I think he's going to have a good season come up this year, too. So, you know, it's a lot of young talent. And I mean, Steven really, really good, too, because we come from families that are not a ton of money. And he's working every day and going to college. I'm working every day and going to college, you know. We don't have a ton of backing. It's not like we're a rich little spoiled kid. So we take everything for appreciation. So me and him, that's why me and him are really good friends. And, you know, I talked to him today, and he's just like me. He's all pumped up for next year. He's going to run Stafford again full time and a little bit of Thompson if he can. And we're just diehard racers.
Yeah, he's a great kid. That's actually the first time I ever met you was with Steven. Stevie, he's a good kid. I watched him in the legend cars at Speed Bowl, and he used to race these go-karts a few years ago with a friend of mine that I worked with, and that's how I met Steven. So you guys are great kids with bright futures, and I'm really looking forward to catching at least one race up there this year to see what you guys can do.
Yep, I'm excited. Like you said, should be fun, and I'm looking forward to 2017.
Now, Chase, switching gears a little bit, talking about how you made the statement that you'll drive anything with wheels and pedals. You had the opportunity to drive a big block dirt modified at Lebanon Valley Speedway as a teammate to Kenny Tremont, I believe, once or twice?
Yeah, we went up there, I think it was 2 years ago, and we started, you know, dirt racing is a whole other topic, you know. We went up there, and Kenny came up to me and said, "Hey, you good at catching on the race cars quick?" I said, "Yeah, I can adapt pretty quick." He goes, "In three laps?" I said, "Three laps? What do you mean?" He goes, "Yeah, that's all we get. We get hot laps up here." So, you know, it was kind of a curveball thrown at me. We had three laps of hot laps, and then went into the heat race on race. I think we started last, like 28th, and finished 17th on the lead lap. So, yeah, I had a ton of fun doing that. And just once again, SNS Asphalt Paving just giving me an opportunity. And there's been some talk about that, too. Even if I don't find a tour ride or something else that's going to be on the weekends, maybe I'll get in a dirt race a little bit on a Saturday night up at Lebanon Valley or something, you know. Well, we'll figure it out. I think no matter what, my sponsors will be committed to doing anything. And like I said, I just want to race whenever I can. So hopefully something falls together.
Now, obviously, you know, like you said, totally different animal than anything you've ever driven before. Did you enjoy driving the dirt car? I mean, would you like to do it more often?
Yeah, I mean, I do it more often. I ran dirt USAC midgets for Frank Manafort about 3 or 4 years ago, and I had a blast doing that. And I really like dirt racing. It's fun. It's a different style of racing, and you know, it's fun to go out there and being a regular on asphalt stuff to go out in dirt. So you see a lot of kids like Tyler Dipple. He ran small block, big block modifies, and he ran K&N cars this year. You know, there's a lot of things come from dirt. You see Tony Stewart, Jeff Lord, and those guys. They started on dirt. So, you know, dirt racing is a big thing. I don't know if I'd like power washing a car after a Saturday night every week, but it is what it is, but like I said, it's different from asphalt racing, and it was definitely fun. Just, you know, you're sitting in the center of the race car with the drive shaft going through your legs. It's a little scary at times, but wondering if you're gonna have a kid or not in a couple of years. But this one, you sit in the middle of the car. There's a lot of suspension movement on those race cars, and they can take bumps and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it'd be cool to run a big block again at some point in the future.
I've hung around in the pits once or twice at a dirt race, and, you know, obviously nowhere near to the level that I do at an asphalt race, but it's unbelievable the amount of spares and the stuff that they change during a night of racing. They bring like three different rear ends, about 20 different kinds of tires, and they're swapping parts in and out of them things. I mean, those guys work their tails off on those things.
Yeah, like you said, that's part of the dirt racing that you got to adapt to. It's like asphalt racing. You go to Stafford, Waterford, anywhere in Connecticut, anywhere in the country with a modified and asphalt. You know, you go there with a pretty basic setup that you run the week before. And, you know, the dirt racing, like I went there, you know, we were changing sway bars out, the shocks. You mean you're bolting on different shocks. You look at the track, you see the calcium going in the track, the water going in the track. You say, okay, it's going to be slick, it's going to dry up. You know, it's a lot of crew members, too, that do a big help on that. Kenny Tremont, actually, they made a big change. I think last year they hired Gary Waters and their crew to come over to help him on the big block. They were struggling, and people were actually thinking, oh, Kenny's going to retire. He's been struggling. It thinks it's him. And, you know, they came back with a new crew the year later, and they won almost matches best season that he had a while ago in big blocks at Lebanon Valley and all over. And they won a ton of races and came real close to the championship and just lost it. But, you know, it's like you said, the team, it's a big factor in the dirt racing and the knowledge of the technology that came throughout the years and the shocks, like I said, it's a big part of it. And you see, like, it transfers over to asphalt side. You see Phil Moran with a ton of experience. You know, he could bring any race car fast. And it's kind of cool to compare stuff like that.
Now, Wall Stadium has their annual Turkey Derby event this weekend. Do you plan to attend, or do you have maybe anything lined up to run down there? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to go down, and I'm not going to run anything, but I'm going to actually go down there and help Jamie Tenino and change tires from the pit stop and stuff. And, you know, I'm just fortunate for him. So 2 years ago, he gave me that ride in the tour car, and whenever I get a chance, I like trying to take the straight off my back for him and give him a hand. And he's a short member crew, and you know, nothing, you always got to remember where you came from. So I'm gonna go down there and help him out and have a few couple laughs with him and have a good time. Hopefully don't have to be freezing to death down here, but should be a fun time.
All right, Chase, well, we really thank you for coming on tonight, and we wish you luck in 2017 at Stafford, and hopefully luck over the off season securing a Whalen Tour ride. But before we let you go, do you have anybody you want to thank? Sponsors, family, crew members, friends, fans?
Yeah, I don't want to board you guys to death and have a whole list here. But, you know, SNS Asphalt Paving, I really just got to give them the biggest shout-out. They're the backbone. I probably wouldn't be racing until this day, or even now. I wouldn't even have an SK ride or anything without them. So I got to really thank Kevin and Don at SNS. They've been a huge, huge part of my racing, and I have a ton of little sponsors. And when you say little sponsors, I mean everything helps, as everyone knows. So yeah, I thank all the guys that are out there too.
All right, Chase, once again, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you at Wall, and good luck next season.
All right, thank you guys, have a good night.
Thanks.
See ya.
All right, Mike, Chase Dowling, young upcoming driver, you know, unfortunate, like you said, that he's not doesn't have anything currently lined up for the Whalen Modified Tour. Hopefully that changes before next season.
I don't think a lot of the Whalen Modified Tour teams have a lot of stuff lined up going into next season with the schedule changes and the, you know, the combination of both tours being one tour. You know, it's a lot of people are weighing out the pros and cons, and I think what's going to either help the decision, in my opinion, for most of these teams is NASCAR is going to have to get together and try to make it more financially viable for these teams to come out and compete, especially with the travel and the limited budgets and the commitment that these teams have to make to run a full season. And I think once more of the groundwork is laid out and more of the specifics are set in place and the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, you're going to see, some names be announced and some drivers at different cars. And, you know, hopefully, like I said, this is a great opportunity for NASCAR to bring the average fan back to the track and get the average family that has lost interest due to, you know, whatever reason, be it financially or otherwise. I understand on the business aspect of it, of upping the purse, you know, you got to up the gate, which, I mean, in my opinion, I don't know that I agree with that. I think there's plenty of money to go around in racing. I think on both sides of it, the racers really lose out, the teams really lose out in the long run, and the tracks and the series, you know, are the ones that make out. People show up in volumes to see these Whelen modified tour races at the local levels. I know, you know, watching at New Hampshire, it's not a huge turnout, but you go down the Speed Bowl, you show up at Thompson, go to Stafford, Bristol. I mean, you see a good crowd. You see the local short tracks, when the tour shows up, it's phenomenal, the amount of people you see. But there's got to be a way to financially make it beneficial to everybody, and I think it's going to take a little give on the parts of some people who might not really want to give, but for the benefit of the sport are going to have to give if they like their paychecks. But that's my opinion, and I think we'll see Chase Dowling in a well modified tour ride. Hopefully, we'll see him in a K&N ride and maybe move up the ladder from there. He's a young guy, ton of talent. You know, it's just phenomenal that dirt tracks do so well, purse wise and fan wise and track winner wise. I mean, look at Lebanon Valley. I mean, that guy's been there for years, and you never hear about the place going into foreclosure. You never hear about the place being a ghost town. You never really hear anything bad about dirt track racing. And I know it's a whole different animal, as far as racing goes, but the business model is still ideally the same. Make it affordable for the fans, kind of like the old Kevin Costner Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come philosophy. I'd like to see somebody jump out on a limb and try it here on a local level on the asphalt, just to see if my philosophy is right on that. And I have a good hunch, being, you know, middle class and a race fan with a family, and having a lot of friends that are in my same situation and a lot of friends that race on strapped budgets that would like to, you know, they're trying to make a living out of it, but they want to make it more cost effective. So we'll see what goes on with the Whelen Modified Tour. Hopefully it all works out for them.
You know, and another thing too, a driver we had on earlier in the show, Matt Hirschman, and you know, he kind of in a roundabout way said that, you know, he would entertain the offer to run the Whelen Tour if it was the right deal. And I don't think he loses any sleep over not racing the tour, not trying to speak for him, but just that a driver of his caliber isn't in a Whelen Modified Tour ride is another thing that kind of baffles me.
Well, because the money you have to spend and the money you're going to get in return is just not even in the ballpark of feasible for a lot of people. And a lot of smart people, and I consider Matt Hirschman to be a very smart race car driver. That's why they call him Big Money Matt Hirschman. He's definitely talented. He's definitely got good equipment, but he doesn't go out there and risk it on, you know, piddly $1,300 to win SK modified race, when he knows that if there is an issue that arises, a blown motor, a right front ripped off, a small tangle in an SK modified is costing you, you know, $2,000, you know, and it's just, you know, tire prices have gone up in the last 15 years. Gas prices have gone up in the last 15 years. Parts prices have gone up in the last 15 years. Track entry fees have gone up in the last 15 years. The only thing that hasn't gone up in the last 15 years is purses. And it's just ridiculous that, I mean, it's just, you could tell racing and race car drivers don't have a union, because if they had a union, there'd be a strike, you know, by now. People be walking. I mean, it's just, I understand that, you know, it's a passion and, you know, I heard a guy say it a long time ago and recently in the past, you know, racers would show up and race for free. In my opinion, that's a crappy attitude to have, because you're basically, you need the, as a track, you need drivers to show up, to put fans in the seats, to sell hot dogs in the concessions, to sell merchandise in the souvenir trailer. And if you can't pay these guys to show up, I mean, that'd be like going to work every day for the last 15 years at, you know, $8 an hour, $9 an hour. I mean, you know, who started a job 15 years ago at $9 an hour and still making $9 an hour right now? It's just not, it's not feasible. And it's something's gotta come to a head. And like I said, it'd be great to, I understand, you know, sponsors and all that and the recession and blah, 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 blah. But you know, let's face it, it's a lucrative business, and there's plenty of money to go around. Up here, it's seasonal, so you're not spending the money year-round. Like I said, maybe that's why I don't own a track or run a track, because I'd be one of those guys that would go out on a limb and try it, you know, and I'm either going to hit a home run or I'm going to strike out, but, you know, at least the effort was made to be proven wrong, you know?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, and then this whole deal with the tour schedule, they haven't released it yet. I mean, you know, is it going to come out at the banquet? You know, there's all these crazy rumors flying around, and they do a little bit to dispel some of them, you know, like saying that the opening race of the season was going to be at New Smyrna, and there's no truth to that rumor, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, how many of these races are going to be down south? What, you know, when on the schedule are they going to be? How many races, period, is there going to be this year? How close together are they going to be? I mean, you know, and believe me, I mean, I'm dating myself here, but I remember the tour when it was 28 races and they ran from March to almost November, and they ran a lot of, you know, midweek shows and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it goes back to guys were racing for a living back then. How many people actually race as their job now? I don't think any.
You can't.
You know, so it's just a different era. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't. It's like anything else. It's basic economics, and it's a sports entertainment venue. Okay, racing, yes, is a sport, but it's also entertainment as well. You see what I'm saying? It's not like football or basketball or baseball or soccer. It's kind of like those hockey. It's like those five sports plus, you know, WWE mixed into one, and they have such a great fan base that just wants to show up every week and wants to be there, but it's getting ridiculously priced, and it's just pricing the average person on a Friday night, on a Saturday night, on a Sunday afternoon, you know, right out of going. And I could go on for hours that I don't have about my philosophy on it, and who am I? You know what I'm saying? I'm a service writer at Charles Toyota in Norwich, Connecticut. I mean, what do I know? I like to think I know what the fans want, and I like to think I know what the drivers want, because a lot of my friends are drivers, and a lot of my other friends that don't drive are fans. So I remember going as a kid and Concies, and the Speed Bowl got there this year with car counts and everything like that. And I think what would put the Speed Bowl, and I like to speak about the Speed Bowl because it's my home track, and I think it has the most potential to set the standard for short tracks across the East Coast here. For a business model, if somebody would be willing to take the risk of it to demonstrate and give it a couple of years. But I think that, you know, it's a great opportunity to be a Lebanon Valley type place. It's a small bull ring. Drivers want to go there. Drivers want to race there. But there's that shot you're going to tear your equipment up. And if you're getting paid peanuts, you're not going to show up. You're not going to race. It's plain and simple. You're not going to get the big name drivers to come down there and run an SK modified every Saturday night. The big name late model guys or the big late model guys, this, you know, there's 160 ACT late models in the area, according to whoever's numbers, and they don't show up to the Speed Bowl because they don't get paid shit to win. You know, it's just part of the thing. If you want people to show up and put on a show, you have to pay them. You're not going to get Motley Crue to show up at Mohegan Sun and play an event that goes for $10,000 and put on a good event for $1,000. It's just not going to happen.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, Wall Stadium this weekend, Turkey Derby, Mike, pretty much the last asphalt race of the season anywhere in this area, unless you head on down to Florida for the Snowball Derby in December. And, you know, then you got the indoor stuff coming up over the winter. But Turkey Derby, 43rd annual Turkey Derby, and they basically have about anything you could ever want running there this weekend. You have SK Lights, limited late models, factory stock, which is like a dare stock. Their four-cylinder division, which I believe is like an X car to us. Then you have tour-type mods, legends, SK modifieds, TQ midgets. They have dirt modifieds. I believe there's also dirt street stocks that have been invited. And then they have a, and I believe some kind of, yep, demolition derby on Sunday. It's a 3-day show. Pretty reasonably priced for that amount of racing for 3 days. And the best thing is you can buy a ticket for each day. You know, you don't have to buy a 3-day pass. If you can't be there all 3 days, then you buy a ticket for the day you're going to be there. What's your thoughts on that?
Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. I don't understand the philosophy of a 3-day pass if you can only go 1 day. I think that is another thing that's the whole different argument for a whole different show for a whole different day. But it's on my bucket list is the Turkey Derby, along with Bowman Gray Stadium. You know, those are two things that I definitely want to do before I take the old dirt nap. Hopefully in the next couple of years here, I'll be able to, you know, get down to, you know, see the Turkey Derby and get down to Bowman Gray and check out some stuff down there. And see that.
We'll probably be back for one more show next week. We'll probably have, obviously somebody from Wall, Turkey Derby, either Modified or SK or something along those lines. One of the top finishers, maybe even the winner. And, we're also going to do that show that me and Mike had planned where we're going to do we'll have a fan vote, for the guest. That'll probably be what we'll do next week. We'll have somebody from Wall and then we'll have, a fan vote guest. And maybe we'll also, invite all you listeners to call in and chime in. Maybe we'll do an hour and a half show to cap off the season. We'll probably try to come back around, Speed Week's time in February, depending on everybody's, Mike and myself's work schedules. But Mike, I know you had some stuff you wanted to talk about to close out the show here. You have your toy drive coming up, and you also have more information on the benefit for Jeff Supsavardi.
Yeah. One other thing I want to add before I get into those other two things. I want to have Stephen Kopchick on the show. I love that kid. I think he's a great dude. So I think we need to figure him in as a guest here soon. Touching on the toy drive first, that's the first event coming up. It's going to be the third annual Racers for Racers toy drive. Basically what it is a group of people that are, you know, getting together for the holiday. And what we like to do is we bring an unwrapped toy, put it on the table. There's some light hors d'oeuvres that are served, cheese, crackers, various meats, some dips, stuff like that. There is a cash bar. They do a nice job there. Soda for you non-drinkers, water for you cheap asses that don't want to spend any money. There's also a raffle. We are working on raffle prizes right now. Usually it's a really good raffle, 20 to 30 items, ranging from bar mirrors to tickets to anything you can think of. Coca-Cola of New England, New England's a big New England County down here is a big sponsor for that, along with Budweiser, Levine Distributors. They help us out. All toys that are donated at the table go to Kinship for Kids, run by a lady out of Uncasville named Linda Cody. Linda provides Christmas for about 40 families every year that I've been involved with the toy drive. It's grown. Last year we did enough Christmas for 60 families. So we really look forward to a good turnout on that. It's free entry. Just bring an unwrapped toy. It's going down Wednesday, December 21st at Langley's Restaurant at Great Neck Country Club in Waterford. If you don't know how to get there, you can hit me up on Facebook or check the Speed Bowl Facebook page or my phone number, 860-941-6794. Text me, call me. If I don't answer, leave me a message. If you want to donate, if you want directions, if you want to donate and you're from down the New Haven area, I have a guy coming up from New Haven. You can link up with him if you can't make it. If you still want to donate a toy, Kenny Woodward, he helps me out tremendously down that end of the state. So we look forward to a good turnout. Once again, that's Wednesday, December 21st, 2016 at Langley's Restaurant. Thank you to Brian Langley for hosting that for us, Racers for Racers, third annual toy drive. The raffle proceeds, 100% of that goes to Waterford Youth Services Bureau. So we'll make that happen. And then just after the first of the year, we're going for January 28th of 2017. That's the last Saturday in January.
Ray Christian Jr., who is the father of late model competitor Ray Christian III, and Kathy Savardi, Soup Savardi's former wife, have put together a benefit for Soup, who is a beloved character down at the New London Waterford Speed Bowl's been there for years. Soup has throat cancer. And, the bills kind of pile up a little bit, and just the depression factor of a guy like Soup, to be fighting this illness, and just an all-around great guy. Going to throw a benefit for Soup, try to raise some money to help him out and just get him through financially. He's a giving guy. He would do the same for anybody in that situation. That's going to be Saturday, January 28th from 2 to 7 at the Groton Elks Club on 700 Shenacosset Road in Groton. The tickets are $20 a piece. For your $20, you're going to get a spaghetti and meatball dinner with some bread, some salad. There's a bar there, soda, beverages, adult beverages, water. It's going to be some raffles. They're going to have some cool stuff to raffle off down there. So you can contact Ray Christian Jr. at 860-857-3402. Or you can contact me, 860-941-6794. It's on the Speed Bowl Facebook page. It's on my personal Facebook page, Mike Saluka. My page is public. Feel free to check that out. I share stuff all the time. I'd like to see a great turnout for Soup Savardi. I'd also like to thank all the people that came out last weekend, 2 weekends ago, for Todd Saravallo's benefit. That was a huge showing for that. And they raised a lot of money for Hot Rod Todd. And he's fighting through here at the holidays with his illness. So thank you to everybody that came out to that. But other than that, everybody enjoy your Thanksgiving with friends and family. Have a good time, eat a lot of food, watch a lot of football. For you guys going down to the Turkey Derby, enjoy the racing, enjoy the food down there, enjoy the party down there. And, we'll talk to you. I'll talk to you guys next week, and I'll bring it up again for those of you that missed it or, catch it on the replay.
All right. Well, once again, as always, thanks to Victory Lane Radio, Eric LaFleche. Thanks to you, Mike, for flying alongside me here, as always. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks to our guests, Matt Hirschman and Chase Dowling. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday night.
Yes, sir.
That's it for this week on the Racers Rewind. Join hosts Glenn Carcidi and Mike Saluka each and every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. only on the Victory Lane Radio Network, presented by Anytime Realty, empowered, loud, and proud by the HD Radio Network in Austin, Texas. Keep up with all things Racers Rewind by going to the VLR Facebook page, facebook.com/VL Radio Show. HDRadioNetwork.com. HD